As we're back in Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, just by way of review from this morning, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, deceive or lead you astray. Any man could do so. We need to be aware and be on our guard. For though I be absent in the flesh, not with you presently, yet am I with you in the spirit. There was a bond that Paul had with the believers at Corinth. It was a bond that we have in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the spirit of God, joying and beholding your order. And we said there, as we look at that word order, that's the outward aspect of the church, ordering our lives in obedience to the commands of God. Steadfastness, that expresses that inner basis on which the church rests, that we are resting in our faith in Christ and we are trusting Him, and that faith is to be steady. It's to be constant. And so as we look at that and we consider that tonight, we know that as we rest in Him, as we're steady, as we're consistent, as we continue on in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, the result then can be trusted, because the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can trust that consistency then that we have in Him. Tonight we'll pick up and finish in verses 6 to 8. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we come into your presence tonight and we thank you. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God. And Lord, the work that you desire to do in us. Lord, I pray that you'll settle our hearts and our minds now, and I pray that you'll focus our attention on your truth. I pray that you would do the work that needs to be done in each and every heart and life, including my own. I pray that tonight you would be magnified, lifted up. And as you are lifted up, I know that we will be reminded the privilege that is ours to be able to be called the sons of God. We are so unworthy, and yet the very God of heaven sent His sinless, perfect Son to die on the cross and to provide for us eternal life. There's nothing that I have in this world that's my own. Everything that I have and everything that I am is a gift from God. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that we would understand that, and I pray that we would humble ourselves before the cross, and that we would allow you to do your work in our lives. Our lives need to be changed to be more like the image of your dear Son. And I pray that we would allow you to do that perfect work in us tonight. Thank you for what you'll do. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So, abiding by God's warning about liars, there is a real threat of deception. We saw in verse 4, liars all around us. Verse 5, there is a real faith within us. And that faith needs to be lived by trusting in the truth of the Word of God, not looking for the way that man would provide, having order and obedience, and having a steadfast in our faith. But then several things that are expressed to us as we move on in verses 6 to 8 that are expected. Our faith is based on God's truth. And the first thing that we see in verses 6 and 7 is concerning our walk, that we walk in the truth of God, that we walk in the truth of God. When you look at verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Paul warned them to remember how they received Christ Jesus the Lord at their conversion. If you're here tonight, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. There was a time in your life when you came to a very clear understanding that you were a sinner, and that because of your sin, you were doomed to eternity in hell. God cannot let you into his heaven because of your sin. And in that, you were introduced to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, who died on a cross and shed His precious blood to provide for you and for me eternal life, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so everyone in here tonight that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you were confronted with this truth. And in childlike faith, You trusted Jesus Christ to do for you what you could not do for yourself. And listen, I don't know everyone's background in here tonight. I can't go back to everyone's beginning. And I don't know tonight the testimonies of everyone as to how you came to Christ and where you were in life and what was going on. But no doubt there may be some in here tonight that you were looking down the road of works and trying to, you know, just trying to be good enough to get your way into heaven. Maybe there was some form of religion that you were following after, and you believed if I'm just religious enough, if I just do enough of these specific things that are outlined for me to do, then I can go to heaven. If I'm in church for Easter and Christmas, then God will be pleased and I can get into heaven. And for every one of us, there came a point in time when we were confronted with an understanding that none of that was enough. I can't do enough good works. I can't pile up enough good works on the scale to have things balance out in my favor. I can't impress God with coming to church. Religion will not accomplish anything in my life. And when we're confronted with that, and when we come to that place where it's a place where we realize there is no other hope. All it takes to accept the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ is not works, not religion, not fulfillment. It's simple, childlike faith. And so there was a point in time in every one of your lives here tonight, if you know Christ, that in simple, childlike faith you came to salvation. That was true in the church at Colossae. And so Paul says to them, as ye have therefore received Christ, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Paul wanted them to remember at their conversion, he wanted them to remember that childlike faith, that simple trust in the Lord. See, I know for myself, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, there was no question, there was no doubt, is this going to work? I knew this was the answer. And I couldn't wait, and I believe was saved before I even got the prayer out of my mouth, but prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior. And that moment of salvation was just, Lord, you tell me what to do. And you know, once we accept Christ, in those early days as a Christian, When we haven't become what I like to call a professional Christian yet, you know what a professional Christian is. We know how to dress the part. We've learned all the catchphrases. We know where to put the these and the thous and oh yes, Lord. We become professional Christians. And we look at baby Christians and we say, oh, you're just new, you're excited, you'll calm down, give it time. But you know, in those early days when you came to Christ, there wasn't anybody you ran into that you didn't want to tell about Jesus Christ. There was not a single conversation you had that you weren't looking for a way to weasel it in there to let somebody know, I've placed my faith in Christ. You couldn't wait to tell people. Read my Bible? Yes, please. Prayer, absolutely. Being a witness for Christ, no doubt. We get to go to church. Oh, three times on Sunday we get to hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. This is great. Then we become professional Christians. Well, I've heard that passage before. Doesn't he know he's already used that illustration at least three times this year? Oh, well, I heard somebody else preach that, and it was way better. Well, you know, we've got a lot going on, and we can church at home. After all, we have the indwelling Spirit of God. We become professional Christians. There's no longer that simple childlike faith and obedience to the Lord. And Paul said to the church at Colossae, he said, listen, I want you to remember your conversion. I want you to remember how you came to Christ. Remember your faith because you started first by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, in order for you to come to faith in Christ, somebody had to bring you that message. And that message came in the gospel. You weren't saved because somebody really knew how to craft the plan of salvation well. You were saved because of the gospel. Amen. The power of the gospel. You may have come to Christ through somebody who was stammering and stuttering and couldn't find the references and, wait a minute, I know it's here somewhere. And through all of that, the power of the gospel hit your heart. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul said, I want you to remember that. That you weren't clinging to a man's philosophy. You weren't listening for the next big thing. You simply allowed your heart to be impacted by the gospel, the Word of God. Go back there. Remember how diligently you searched the Scriptures, desiring to know the truth. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. There's a desire to search the Scriptures and to know the truth. I've told you before about Isaac. I won't go back over the whole story. Isaac grew up in a Christian home and had never accepted Christ. We had the war ministry come to our church, and the last night of the war, Isaac got saved. This was a kid who had been memorizing Scripture since he could talk. His parents had him, and I mean this, his parents had him in church every time the doors were opened. He was there. They were that faithful. And Isaac never came to faith in Christ. And then he accepted Christ. He was so much fun. He was so much fun. Because he would come to youth group, and he would come in and sit down, and before I could get started with the message, Pastor Steve, you know, when I was in elementary school, I had to memorize, and he'd pull some verse out of the air. And he'd say, do you know what that verse means? And I would always play along, and I'd say, no, what's it mean, Isaac? Well, you know, I memorized it, and I never paid attention to it. He said, but now, he said, it's like a whole new verse to me.
Amen.
That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old things. He said, that all just sounded like dumb old people stuff to me. He said, I get it now. I'm not supposed to keep living in sin. And I'd watch all these other teenagers sitting around him going, what is wrong with you? And he was so excited. Why? Because he was a newborn babe. And everything, listen, everything that had been sitting up here, all of a sudden, somebody pulled the block out of the way, and it dropped from here to here. And it was all new. He would go to work, and he'd come home, and he'd say to his mom, I witnessed to three of my coworkers today. And she would burst into tears, because this was a whole new kid. And he would say, Mom, this weird thing happened, though. A verse that you made me memorize when I was just a little guy came back to me, and I quoted it when I was witnessing to this person. They asked me a question, and I had a Bible verse answer. He said, what's wrong with me? And she said, you've got the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Paul says, remember. Remember that childlike faith. Remember that sincerity. Remember that thirst and hunger for the Word of God. And the way you came to faith should be the way you walk. That's what he's saying here in verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk. In other words, don't become a professional Christian. The same faith that you had in coming to Christ, The same conversion that you experienced, the same thrill over the Word of God. Continue there. Walk in it. And then he gets into specifics. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him. Your walk should be rooted like a tree with a solid root system. Goes deep into the earth. Why? Because a solid root system keeps you anchored. Listen, your life needs to be rooted into the Word of God in such a way that you study this book, that you meditate on it, that you allow God to apply His truth to your life, that it changes what you do. Literally, that it changes what you do. And I know to some of you tonight, you're going, well, yeah, and I'm preaching to the choir. But you realize we never reach a point in our life where God's Word stops changing us. There's no expiration date on it. And I know some of you look at me and say, well, Pastor, I've been saved for 50, 60, 70 years. I don't really know that there's much left that God can change. Well, there is. Because I know that in me, that is in this flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. The good that I would, I do not. But that which I would not, that I do. That was our good friend Paul. And if Paul was saying up to the end, there's still some stuff in me that needs to change. I think it's pretty safe to say in here tonight, for all of us, there's still some stuff that needs to change. And so the Word of God is to be at work, and it's to be rooted, it's to be finding, we're to find depth in our life. And by that I simply mean this, that it doesn't move. We've got this John Deere tractor. I was back there in the back not long ago. We were trying to do some things to deal with water. And we put the bucket down in the ground. And you know, you think John Deere tractor, this is a powerful machine. And it is a powerful machine, but do you know it's no match for a tree root? Because that bucket caught a tree root, and I pulled back on the stick for the bucket to come up. And do you know what amazing thing happened? The bucket did not move. But all of a sudden, my seat was higher in the air as the back tires raised up. And I said, no, this is not the way this is supposed to go. We need to get out of this situation. And we did. Now, why didn't the root went down into the ground so that it couldn't be moved when something was coming against it? Paul said, listen, Colossian believer, one of the reasons you're so easily moved from the truth and easily moved away from what God desires for your life is because you're not rooted. We get rooted in a lot of things in this life. Listen, I could go around this room tonight and I could say, tell me your career. Tell me what career you've been involved in all your life. And I'd hear different things. And I can look at some of you and I know the answer I'd get. And consequently then, in that field, I could ask you questions and you would pride yourself in how well rooted you are in that career. Nothing wrong with that. Listen, if I'm going to go to you and you're a medical doctor, I want you to be rooted, okay? If you're an attorney trying to keep me out of jail, I want you to be rooted. But your real vocation is a child of God.
That's right.
And we ought to be rooted in the Scriptures. There ought to be some depth there spiritually, where things have taken hold and we're not so easily moved. So your walk should be rooted like a tree. Your roots need to plunge deep into the Word of God. Have some truth that you hang on to so that you're not moved. Again, listen, there are some fundamental... When I first started in the ministry, I had a guy look at me. I think I've told you this before. I was interviewing him at our Christian school, and we were going through our doctrinal statement for the Christian school, and he looked at me and he said, listen, I agree with your doctrinal statement, but you understand Mary wasn't really a virgin. That word virgin just means she was a young woman. Now listen, I don't know a lot. I don't know a lot, but he hit one of my roots. Because I stood up. And you that know me know that doesn't happen a lot. I usually keep it calm. I stood up and both hands on my desk and I said, sir, we're finished. And no. Dad, listen, don't get all bent out of shape about this. I said, I'm not bent out of shape about this. This is the word of God and you've contradicted it. We're not in agreement. Your son's not coming to school here. I was never that dogmatic with anybody, but he hit one of my roots. Listen, we've got to have some roots, because if we don't have roots, what happens? Again, the deceiver's not coming in holding a sign up going, I'm here to trick you. He's going to come in, he's going to tell you some things that are going to sound good. They're going to appeal to you. He's going to use enticing words. And all of it's designed to lead you astray. So you better have some roots. And so, rooted, built up. When he uses that word built, when he uses that description to be built up, you get it, you understand. It's the idea that my life is built up precept on precept. Not that I have a shallow foundation. You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful if you're building a house. It's a wonderful thing to go out when they break ground and they lay the foundation. You can walk around and see the footprint. Now, that's exciting stuff. Nobody wants to live in the footprint of a house. That's just dumb. Nobody walks out and says, oh, look at the footers. We've got a house. Let's put the couch right here. That's not a house. That's just a foundation. And listen, what happens so many times, Christians, because they're not discipled, Christians, because they allow sin in their life and they lose that desire, they never grow past foundation. They've received Christ, but they're not building anything on top of it. And he says, you need to be rooted. It needs to go down deep, but then you need to build it block on block, line upon line, precept upon precept into your life, that your life is built up so that it's more than just a foundation, but it becomes the household, the temple, the dwelling place of God.
Amen.
Build up. Faith is doctrine upon doctrine being built into your life. Your walk, rooted, built up, established, or stable. Stable. You need to have a stability in your life that only comes through faith. I cannot wait to get to heaven. Hollywood and all these things, they try to do depictions. Even up here at Sight and Sound, they try to do depictions of Bible time things. You know, Adam, the rib being taken out of Adam and all that kind of stuff, and Eve being created, and Samson. You know, they do great things up there. They really do. It's very, very impressive. But I don't want the production. I can't wait to get to heaven and see the real thing. I really can't. I can't wait till I can get to heaven and I can say, Lord, can I watch Peter walk on the water? Can I watch that one? Can we sit down and watch that one together? And the Lord says to me, okay, watch. Now Peter's going to get out of the boat. And Peter steps over that side and he begins to walk to Jesus. And it's just the most amazing thing that Peter is surfing on top of the waves, walking to Jesus. And then he begins to sink. And you know, if you've ever been a kid in a pool, every kid who ever gets in a pool says, I'm going to be Peter. And they try to walk off the side and walk on the water. I have yet to meet a single kid who can do it. They all fall in. Peter was walking on the water to go to Jesus, and it was a steady walk in a very unsteady environment. Why? Because it was grounded in faith. It was grounded in a belief that what Jesus told him to do, he could do. And so we talk about being established, to be stable. God wants your walk to be stable. That while everything in this world around you is changing, elections come up, jobs change, Financial markets excel and crash. Health is good, and then health is bad, and then health is good again, and then it's bad again. Family situations change. People we love pass on to eternity. New people are born into our family. Everything's always changing. Everything is always changing. There's one thing that never changes, and that's God. And this book. And so God says, listen, I want you to be rooted. I want you to be built up. And I want you to be established, stable, that no matter what the waves do, no matter how the wind beats, no matter what changes, we're still the same. Amen. Listen, order, steadfastness. And so then, walk established and walk, and I have to stop, but he says here, rooted, built up, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Overflowing, overflowing. I poured myself a nice Coke Zero this afternoon. Poured it in that glass. And that foam started rising. And it outsmarted me. And it flowed right over the top. My, was I sad. Because I'm not an animal. I was not going to get down. I thought about it, but I'm not going to get down and lick that off the table. Okay? I got a paper towel and I cleaned up the table. Can you believe that? You taught me well. I cleaned up the table for once and threw that away. But it overflowed. It overflowed. Let me ask you a question. What's overflowing in your life? What's overflowing in your life? I've referenced it before. Paul said that I may know him. Fellowship of suffering, the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. And it's the idea there of a sponge that's soaked up so much that you touch it, no matter how light the touch is, you come away and you're still wet. It's an overflowing life. What's overflowing in your life? And what I mean by that is when somebody comes in contact with you, and I'm not talking about a physical touch, but when somebody comes into contact with you, no matter how brief that interaction may be, what do they come away having been touched by? What's overflowing in your life? Paul said, listen, rooted, established, built up, overflowing. Overflowing in the truth of God's word, and to do so with a heart of thanksgiving. To do so with a heart of thanksgiving. Thanks for God and his goodness and for all he has done. More importantly, thankful to God that he has been willing to reveal himself to you. Thankful to God that he's been willing to reveal himself. I mean, really stop and think about that. And you need to meditate on it for more than just a moment. I mean, really take that home with you tonight. That the God of heaven desires to be known by you. That he desires that you might know everything that he has revealed about himself. And he wants that. He wants that. He wants that relationship. And if that doesn't provoke thanksgiving in your heart, because you run into people every day that have an interaction with you and they want it to be as quick and brief and painless as possible. They want to move on. God says, no, I want you to know me. I want to reveal myself to you. I am your creator. There is so much love that I have for you that you cannot comprehend it. There is so much that love has provided for you that you could not dream it up on your own. And I want you to know me so that you don't miss out on not one thing. There's a thing, I've been told, there's a thing called FOMO. You know what FOMO is? Who knows what FOMO is? Yeah, I see the two grinning down here in the front. They know what it is. Fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. I just became acquainted with this term this week. I don't like it. Fear of missing out. I'm told it relates to sales. Fear of missing out on a sale. You can guess who taught me the term. This person was telling me this. Fear of missing out. Listen, hey, can I tell you something? There ought to be a fear of missing out on the goodness of God, something that God wants you to know of himself. I mean, really, God says, here I am. This is who I am. I want you to know me. There ought to be a fear of missing out on what is it that God wants me to know of him that I don't know? So that I'm soaking this up.
Root established, built up, walking, abounding, with thanksgiving.
And when we do all that, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit. Why? Because it's easy to have all of that spoiled. It's easy to have all of that spoiled when we take our eye off what the Lord is trying to do in us. Tonight, remember your conversion. Go back and walk that way.